Welcome to the Sick and Successful podcast. If you're a business owner, work in corporate, or have a side hustle you're passionate about, you're gonna wanna stick around. Because I promise to ask the tough questions and talk about the things others shy away from. You know, what it's really like to own a business and be chronically ill. I'm gonna give you that push you need towards following your dreams and be the friend you come back to week after week to talk about the real things in life and in business. If you have goals and are working towards them, if you're determined to be successful, no matter what life's obstacles get in the way, this podcast is for you. Dream big and tune in. Welcome back to the Sick and Successful podcast. This is your host, Natalie Supes. I'm so excited to chat with you today. Today's a solo episode all about how I balance motherhood, chronic illness, entrepreneurship, and now pregnancy. Woo! I think it slipped a few times on the podcast that I was pregnant, but it is officially out in the world. I am almost 22 weeks pregnant, 22 weeks pregnant tomorrow as of recording this. I'm due July 18th, and I am so excited. This pregnancy has been a wild ride. It is so different than my last one for multiple reasons. I'm an entrepreneur now, so I don't have the luxury of working a corporate job and like being able to nap. I worked from home when I was pregnant with Alicia, so like I could nap during lunch hour and when I didn't have meetings and I didn't have a million things to do other than my actual job. And I also didn't have a toddler. But on top of that, I am extremely sick. I have all day sickness with this pregnancy. It has been tough. But the reason this episode is today is because I had an awesome speaking event on Monday, such an amazing speaking event on Monday. And during the Q&A section, this was one of the questions. It was, how do you balance motherhood, chronic illness, entrepreneurship, and not burn yourself to the ground? And I was thinking back to the Q&As and what I can turn into a podcast episode, but also how much I want to share this with you. Because I think my audience, those of you listening, are kind of in two camps. There's those of you who are wanting to become successful, wanting to follow a passion, wanting to do something that lights your soul on fire and struggling with whether it's illness or, some kind of life event, something like that. And then those of you who are successful and are doing something you love, but maybe want to switch it or grow it or learn how to not burn out in between, and all of the other listeners who are caregivers to those people. So I really wanted to talk about this topic. Another reason was I had a lot of people coming up to me after the conference and sharing that they were either themselves a chronic illness patient or they were caregivers and in this position where they were working somewhere where it's not lighting their soul on fire, or maybe it used to and it just doesn't anymore. They have a passion, or maybe they don't even know what that passion is, but they know they need to get out. But a full-time job gives you stability, right? And with a chronic illness and the economy the way it is right now, it's so scary to save up for a few months and go all in and see what happens and then look for another job later. We don't have that liberty right now. I felt a lot of people having that kind of battle. And then the other thing about having a chronic illness and like working full-time is that it's tough to add something onto that plate because you're already so burnt out. And so to add a side hustle, especially if you're already a mom or you got other things going on in your life, maybe you have a chronic illness, but you're also taking care of someone with a chronic illness, an elderly parent or something like that. It's not as easy to add something on top of it. Not that it's ever easy to add a side hustle, but there's a lot of other things that come into play. So that's why I wanted to talk about today, how I manage it, what I do, the mistakes I made, what I've learned over time. Before I fully get into it and talk about that topic, I just wanted to say how freaking blessed I am to have the opportunity to be a public speaker. When I was on that stage on Monday and the gig I did in January at Creative Mornings, on Monday I spoke at the Winnipeg Women's Conference and I was in a room all day long, different rooms, but like in a location all day long with badass entrepreneurial business women. And it just felt so soul-filling, you know, to be in those rooms and then to have the opportunity to speak to those women, to share inspiration, to give the gift of breathwork, see the transformations that they had, and have them come up to me after saying how like impactful it was for them with tears in their eyes. It's just like, it's so hard for me to put into words what public speaking really means to me right now in my part of my life. And it's just something that I'm going to push forward towards and listen to that direction. And it's kind of maybe the first tip of how I balance everything is I don't know the right answers. I'm not like superhuman and I can't do all the things. But when I feel that feeling of like, this is life-giving, this is soul-filling, this is the reason I was put here on earth, I follow it. When I first started For the Health, my first business, it was coaching other women. And when I got to help them feel better about themselves, it just felt like an aha moment. And then when I started Crohn's coaching and women with Crohn's disease would message me and be like, you are changing my life. That was soul-giving. Like, I couldn't wait to share those messages with my husband. And when I started the Sick and Successful podcast, and people would do the same thing. And then when I started SNS Creative, my purpose came to life. My business acumen with my creative artistic side merged together in like the most beautiful synchronicities. And every single thing I did felt like it just lit my soul on fire. And then our clients' results and the impact on their businesses just filled me up. And then rebranding the podcast and adding new clients and adding the virtual assistant support. Like, I follow divine intuition, and then my own body's response to that. Writing the Sick and Successful book has been in me forever, but the right things fell into place. I met the right people. I got an opportunity, and I started writing it, and it just felt so beautiful. And now I'm almost 80% done the book, which is crazy. Or done the shitty first draft. Not done the book, but done the shitty first draft. Public speaking. I first started public speaking, and It was like a brunch, and it had a really catchy name, but I forget. In Winnipeg, was it in 2019 or 2018 was my first big speaking engagement. And I think I did really, really well. Prior to that, the first time I spoke on stage alone wasn't like a speaking gig for businesswomen or anything like that, but it was at my church and I volunteered for the youth group and they asked me to tell my testimony. I bombed that. And you might be thinking, like, how do you bomb your own testimony? How do you bomb your own story? I bombed it so hard because I, for weeks, was so nervous and I allowed the nerves get to me. I went up there with a sheet of paper and I read off the sheet of paper. And I will never forget how horrible that felt and watching it back, how embarrassed I was. And then my next speaking gig after that, I crushed it. And ever since, it's just been like a passion of mine to speak on stages, to be on podcasts, to get these opportunities. Not because I want the spotlight on me, actually the opposite. That moment before I get there is always just like so nerve-wracking. But because I think I was given this story and these experiences in life to share them with others, to make a difference, to make an impact, and to give those people in the seats that are watching me or listening to me their own transformation. And that's why I think breathwork is so important in what I do. I was just on a podcast, School for Startups. It actually launched on March 13th. It is a radio show all over the world. He was on this podcast and he's amazing. But on that podcast, or maybe even on mine when he was here, we were talking about how it's hard for him to share about his chronic illness. When I kind of reflected, I'm like, why is it so easy for me to share? And I think that's been a God-given gift for me. So all of that to come back to say, I follow the path in front of me, but that is not always easy. It is not always easy because it gets to be really hard when you're at that crossroad and you're like, I know this thing I'm doing is no longer fulfilling me. I know my corporate job is no longer fulfilling me. I know that I've built my business to a place where it can run itself and now I want to do something else. But how do I change my day-to-day? How do I change the routine? How do I change the stability and take a risk while chronically ill, while being a mother, while having responsibilities? It's a question I even asked my mentor earlier this week. It is so tough. And I don't have the answers for that other than just keep moving forward. Do one small step that you can while still listening to your body. So coming back to how do I balance motherhood, chronic illness, and entrepreneurship is that I have a lot of tools in my toolkit. I've talked about that many times. But as for motherhood, I really try hard not to guilt or shame myself. So 4:30-ish, I know that my daughter's getting picked up by my husband from daycare, and my phone essentially goes off at that point, even before they're home. And I will lay down on the couch, I'll watch some TV. I give myself time to rebalance my nervous system from a full workday to be ready for my family and my home life. So that's a non-negotiable for me. I do not work past 4:30. I will never take a meeting past 4:30. When I first started my business, sometimes I would, like very seldom, maybe 3 to 5 times in the whole 4 years of having this business, did I take an evening weekday meeting. But otherwise, that is a strict non-negotiable, doesn't move. Same with Saturday, Sundays. I've maybe taken 5 max days in the last 4 years, either had a meeting on a Saturday or Sunday, or I've gone to like a photo shoot or something, because that is a strict boundary for me. Those are family time. That is like a non-negotiable. It doesn't even feel like an option for me when someone's trying to get my time when it comes to business. So that's like the brick layer. That's the concrete wall of my non-negotiables. And on top of that, I take a lot of Monday off, most of it, for admin stuff, for emails, for getting back to my team, for making sure the podcast's good, for all of that kind of stuff. And I take Friday off as a CEO day where I can do whatever I want. Most of the time, that is accounting, that is some of the book writing stuff, it's business, but there's other days where it means I'm recouping on the couch, or I go to a Nordic spa when I'm not pregnant, or I go for a massage in halfway through the day. It really is to get my health back while my daughter is not home, because I need that time. Like, I really need my alone time as an only child, as a chronic illness patient, as a projector in human design, like all of my personality traits, I need my alone time. So I would say that is like the drywall after the concrete, because that can get moved around. If a client really needs, or if I have an opportunity to like onboard a new client, for example, this Friday, I am going to a call for someone who might be a client, and I can move those things around. That's drywall. It doesn't get moved very often. There's no ability for someone to come into my link and book on those days. But if I feel like I want to move them, I can. And it does feel like an option. And then my daughter is in full-time daycare. She's been in full-time daycare since she was 9 months old. And I don't feel bad about that, because I know that I'm not built to be a stay-at-home mom, and that I am able to be an amazing mother because I give myself my career, which is such a big part of me. If I was to try to be a stay-at-home mom for her while trying to do this business, trying to impact others, trying to still be a good wife and friend, none of those things would happen. I've mentioned this here before, but an old coach of mine, a mentor of mine, Giovanna by Browse by G, she's no longer doing Browse by G, but she's amazing. She told me something once where we have different balls that we're juggling in our lives, and some are glass and some are rubber. And for me, my family life is glass. It's never going to fall. I'm not going to drop it. I'm not going to drop the weekends, the evenings. I'm not going to drop putting my daughter to bed at night unless, you know, like I'm going out with a girlfriend for a dinner that we really like need and personally want. I don't feel like that glass ball is dropping. That's having some fun here and there. That is my priorities in life. The rubber ball are things like on Monday, she had dance class. Because of how sick I've been with this pregnancy and a few other things, she's only gone to dance once since it reopened in January. And that sucks. That being said, she's also 4. Actually, she's not even 4. She's 3. She can be in dance until she's 30 if she wants to. Missing 2 months of dance and then having to miss another day in March, she didn't even know. She actually doesn't even love going. She fights me. She loves it when she's there, but she hates going into the class and she fights me, so it's stressful for me and her. I could have made her dad, my husband, go directly from work to pick her up, to drop her off to dance, like while exhausted from his physical job. But for what? That's a rubber ball. Next Monday, I can take her and everything will be fine, right? So that's how I balance it in my head. I don't feel guilt about it. I really don't. Her laundry hasn't been done in forever. She's still got clothes and clean undies to wear. Like, she's good. And when she doesn't, I'll throw a load in the laundry. It's fine. It's not a big deal. Another thing I have is support. I do have a big family, but I don't have like grandparents on both sides that can watch her, or a lot of people that can babysit, or people that come in like, you know, the full village that it takes to raise a child. Like, my family is amazing. My mom's amazing, but she works full time in the evenings. My dad works full time during the day. They can't come here really hardly ever now. They used to come every Wednesday, but now it's been like sporadically. But we do have things in place. For example, we have a cleaner that comes every single week, and that saves my life. Not even kidding. I am not your homebody mom, and I hate cleaning, and they come every week, and it's life-changing. My cousin comes twice a week and cooks for us, also life-changing. You know, like we do takeout a couple times a week. Totally fine. We have an air fryer and we have food in our freezer. I don't guilt myself for doing the best that I can. And on the days where I'm laid out on the couch, if my daughter has some kind of like warmed up pierogies from the freezer or leftovers or whatever my husband makes her, I feel zero guilt because I need to take care of myself to be able to take care of her. And as long as her belly's fed and she feels loved, that's my number one priority. And so I think the way that I balance it is by having those concrete walls in place. I mentioned a few of them about my schedule, but it's also in business, in the way my team communicates with me and not giving a single person out my phone number, things like that, that I have concrete walls in place that don't even feel like negotiables for me. You will never see my phone number on a business card. I can count on a handful of people who've had my phone number in business. That phone isn't for business. You can get me on my email. You can get me on Instagram, on our website. You can find me on our podcast. I have a lot of access on Facebook, on other platforms. There's a lot of access to me online. Nobody needs that phone number. Nothing's that urgent. I check Slack between office hours and clients will get a response. Same with emails. You know, opportunities come and they'll go, but my health and my family doesn't. And so those things don't even feel like, I just don't allow myself to feel guilty about them. That's it, period, end of story. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. This week, I way overbooked my calendar, didn't put lunches, have back-to-back meetings, and I paid for it today. I had to reschedule two people. Then I had someone no-show for a podcast episode, which is why you're getting a solo. But I had to reschedule almost everything because I sat down at my desk and I looked at my calendar and I realized there's no way in hell I'm going to be able to do that. And I should have known that when I allowed this to happen. So I always keep learning and adjusting and moving forward and keep on keeping on. Nobody's perfect, but when you allow yourself to not feel the guilt of letting go of things that maybe some other people are doing and definitely never comparing yourself, I'm not looking at what other businesswomen who are moms are doing. Do I talk to them and am I friends with them? Absolutely, because we can share our struggles. But just because one of my business owner friends works 15 plus hours a day and gets so much done in her business, and the other one works 4 hours a day and gets so much done with her family, neither of them are me. And I don't allow myself to feel guilt about that because their dynamics are different than mine. But I do allow myself to have those supports and those people I can talk to and ask for support. So if you feel like you're like struggling in any of this right now, my DMs are always open. I'm not joking. You can message me at sick.and.successful on Instagram. Let me know how you're feeling, how you're doing, where you're at in life. What's your next goal? What's your next challenge? Because that's a really important part, is having someone there who you can just chat to when you're in these crossroads, when you're feeling overwhelmed, and when motherhood's just becoming a little bit too much, or business, or chronic illness. So I hope that episode helped you a bit just to see how someone does it. And I'm never perfect. I never will be perfect. I don't claim to be perfect, and I don't have all the answers. But like I always say, it's possible. Your version of success, whatever that looks like to you, isn't just possible for me to achieve. It is possible for you. And I really, really, truly mean that from the bottom of my heart. So remember, dream big, it's possible for you, and your next version of success is around the corner. Mwah!